Turn to our text for today. It's found in Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 24. Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 24. It's the entire chapter, Genesis chapter 7. And if you're able, I know it's a lengthy reading, but if you're able to stand, would you do so? I want to read these verses in your hearing and see, as we spend a little time together, if we can't glean the truth from these verses that God wants us to know. Beginning at verse number 1, it reads, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation.'" Verse 2. "Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him." Verse 6. "Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground. 2 and 2, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth." Verse 11. "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. And rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons Shem and Ham and Japheth and Noah's wife and their wives and the wives and 3 wives of his sons entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, 2 and 2 of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, were in as God has commanded him, went in as God has commanded him. And the Lord shut him in." Verse 17. "The flood continued for 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all high mountains under the whole heavens were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swimming creatures that swam on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth for 150 days. Amen."
Amen.
Our God, we bow humbly before you and confess that we need your help as we look carefully and intently into the Word of God. Would you meet us now in the Spirit and help us to see and understand your truth? Help us to know how it applies to our lives, and then grant us grace to order our lives in accord with your will. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. All right. You remember that. that as we finished up chapter 6 last week, we saw that humanity had ruined or destroyed, if you will, God's design for creation. The words that we saw used there were corrupted and violence, right? There was corruption and violence in the earth, and we saw that in Genesis 6, verses 11 and 12. We also saw that God planned to destroy humanity because humanity had destroyed God's creation, okay? And so we see that when humanity has reached this point of no return, there's no fixing it. God, as we talked about with the children, God knows that when it comes time for this kind of discipline, you don't fix it, right? It has to be destroyed. It has to be moved out of the way. Okay? Remember how Jesus once said it, that when salt has lost its saltiness or its value, it's what? It's of no value. Mm-hmm. And so we have to recognize that He's the maker.
Amen.
He's the what? Potter.
Yeah.
We are the clay. Okay? And the potter knows best how to handle the clay.
Amen.
And so God, in Genesis 6:13, we saw that God had planned to destroy humanity, who had destroyed His creation. In verses 14 through 17, we saw that God, in the midst of that, made provision for a righteous remnant. God, that's just the goodness of God. In the midst of what must be a judgment, He shows grace because He will preserve a witness for Himself.
Amen.
God is that good. And so he made provisions for this righteous remnant to be destroyed in the midst of this destruction. And they were going to be preserved in the ark. Right? And you all do know that these are all just, what, types and shadows. These are pictures.
Amen.
In the Old Testament for us to understand as we get to the New, these great truths. And that's the reason we're taking our time here. The more we understand about how things began, the better we will understand how they will end. Okay. The more we understand about how things went wrong, the better we'll understand about how to correct them. Okay. And likewise, the more we understand this, is that God has a limit. We will understand that though we may reach our limit long before God reaches His, God still will handle all of the problems and the issues in the earth. Okay? So don't grow, how does the psalmist say, spread not yourself over evildoers. God will handle it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And then we finally saw that God established the covenant of grace with Noah, such that his family and animals would be delivered in verses 18 through 22 of chapter 6. And so we see this marvelous plan of God, even though He must bring judgment on the earth, He made provision for this righteous remnant and all that they would need to repopulate the earth again. And God is just wonderful. Okay? And so today, as we look at chapter 7, we're going to try to get our arms around chapter 7 with these two big thoughts. We're going to look at what I call entry to the ark in verses 1 through 16, and then entry of the flood in verses 17 through 24. So let's start. As we look at entry to the ark, the first thing I want to call your attention to is God's sovereignty, right? God always rules. God is always running His creation. God is always in control of everything. And God always has a plan. That's the only way we can believe that all things are working together. God is causing all things to what? Work together for good. Is that He has a plan, and regardless of what people do, or any of creation, regardless of how anything that creation does, it's God has all. He's wise. He is all wisdom.
Amen.
It's never beyond his plan. He has thought everything through for what? He's the one that knows the end when? From the beginning. Okay? And so, God is sovereign and he rules. And so you see here, God reveals to us how he is ruling even in this destruction. It was God who determined when the ark was finished. God told Noah what to do, right? He gave him, you remember we looked at that last week? He gave him all of the specifics, the details. And you remember, the details that God wants us to emphasize are those things that he tells us. Those that he doesn't are open for creativity. But on the details, you have to be accurate. Right? And so it was God who determined that Noah had done what he required. The details had been met. He decided, it was God who determined when the ark was finished. And then you can also see that it was God who determined the time to enter the ark. You see verse 1? Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark. Noah didn't know when it was time. Noah was working and obeying God, but Noah didn't know when it was time to go inside. God had to tell him. God was in control, right? And that's the encouragement for you and I. There are things that we don't know, but there's never anything that God doesn't know. That's the reason we what? Trust him with all our heart. When things seem to be taking much longer than we thought, and they got much worse than we thought, but he's still what? In control.
Amen.
And then you notice it was God who determined who and what would enter the ark. Mm-hmm. God had a select people. Remember that? Noah and his family were selected to enter the ark. But he also had a select group of animal life, right? It wasn't left to Noah to decide which people go in or which of the animal life go in. God, those were what? Those were specific details that Noah had to follow because God had a great plan that was going to require those very details we follow later on. All right? And so God is still ruling. Now, I want you to notice next, not only do we see God's sovereignty, but we see God's grace. It's by grace that Noah had lived a holy life in the midst of a wicked people. It's by grace that he had lived this holy life in the midst of a corrupt people. All around, I'm not just speaking of one or two people. All people around him were corrupt. In employment, in neighborhoods, in recreation, everywhere, everything he was exposed to was corrupt. Wickedness. You remember how the Bible says? Every intent of the thought of their heart is only evil, what? Continually.
Right.
That's the environment in which he lived. But grace kept this man
from
being that way. We can live holy without making excuses.
Amen.
We can.
Amen.
We can live holy without blaming folks. We can. Even if you're the only one in your house, you can live holy without blaming other folks in the house.
Amen.
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 He lived holy. Why? By grace. Paul said it's what? By grace I am what? Who I am.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so God's grace is at work when he's in control. I also want you to notice that it's by grace God allowed Noah and his family to enter the ark. We already look at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Go down to verse 6. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came into the earth. Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. And then go to verse 13. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. What? It's by grace. God allowed him and his family to go in. You follow this now. This is really important. Don't just look at the facts. The facts are true. But why? It's by God's grace. Right? Nothing in them. It's in God. Yeah. God is the one who has the plan. They don't know what the plan is. They don't. Only the secret things belong to God.
Amen.
It's only the things revealed that you and I know. But we can't handle. Jesus had to tell his apostles that you can't handle all
Amen.
That you think you want to know, right? And so we see that it's by grace that they entered. And this is something that I notice here. When you read through chapter 7, it just looks like God keeps repeating the same thing over and over. You notice that? I just read you three accounts of the same truth. But here's the thing about it. God never wastes words.
Amen.
If
Amen.
God has to tell you something three times,
Amen.
Then you get it?
Yeah, right.
You're right?
Amen.
If God tells you something three times, he means don't forget that.
Uh-huh.
Right? Holy! Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.
Uh-huh.
What is God? He is what? Holy.
Uh-huh.
And don't forget it. Well, right here he's saying, God by grace allowed Noah and his family to go into the ark of safety. Don't forget that.
Amen.
Don't forget it. We are reminded three times that God, by his grace, allowed this family to go in. And we are reminded three times that they wasn't because of their merit. It's because of God's goodness. Now I want you to also notice that even in grace, there's urgency. So don't get lazy or procrastinate because you know God is gracious. Right? Here's the reason I said it. Look at verse 4, I believe it is. Yeah. You see the beginning of verse 4? What does he say? For in 7 days I will send rain. Now, Noah, you spent 120 years working. But don't get lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't procrastinate because you only got 7 days to get on.
Mm-hmm.
Just cause grace, just cause God is impatient. And I know there'll be people mocking, you thinking, ain't nothing going to happen. You've been serving the Lord all this time. You've been spending all your energy and your time. You're right. Well, I mean, you can imagine the kind of mockery that he had to face. Now, they don't know this. They don't know what's about to happen. They still going on with their life, having a good time. But even for people of grace, God says to you, when I tell you to do something, you need to take heed.
Amen.
Because you don't know the future.
Right.
Is this important?
Mm-hmm.
It is. You can't assume that tomorrow is going to be like today.
Mm-hmm.
Trinity, we have got to learn. My wife and I were yesterday, day before, we were doing a devotion, and it was you remember where the prophet was told to go outside the cave there, and God was going to come back, he's going to hear from God. You remember what the whole issue was? You had what, the earthquake and all the clamor and all the storms, but then there came this what, this gentle breeze, this whisper. God wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the storm. He wasn't in, right? Even though he thought that that's where he would be. God was in that gentle breeze and whisper.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to learn to hear God without thinking he's got to scream. He's got to slam. When he speaks gently, do you hear? Okay? And we need to know when it's urgent, even in days of grace. You also notice that it's by grace that God selected animal life to enter the ark. You got to go back to verse 2. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of animals that are not clean, the male and his mate. Look at verse 3. The seven pairs of birds of the heaven also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. Look at verse 8. Of all clean animals and of animals that are not clean, of the birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah as God had commanded. And then finally, look at verse 14. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature, they went into the ark with Noah, two and two, of all flesh in which there was the breath of life, and those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded them. How many times do we see it? Three times.
Three.
Amen.
You getting this?
Yeah.
Three times it tells you what?
The same thing.
That's right.
This is not just information.
That's right. That's right.
God wants you to know, don't you start running around thinking that this happened by luck and just serious. You know, it's just, ain't it amazing that these folks wound up on the ark and these animals?
Mm-hmm.
This is by God's design. Wasn't because the people were so good,
mm-hmm.
Wasn't because the animals were so good. It's because God had a plan.
Yes.
And he selected folks for the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of them, but because of him.
Yeah.
This is the reason we praise him.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reason he's worthy.
Yes.
We have been selected by grace, not merit.
Mm.
Not what you have to bring to the table. You've been selected just because God wanted to bring you to the table.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're selected because you're hungry and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
You're selected because you're naked and you don't even know it.
Mm.
You're selected because you're blind and you don't even know it. You're selected because you're dead,
yeah,
and you don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. God says, come here. Let me give you life. Let me show you how to live.
Mm.
Why? Grace.
Yeah,
grace.
Yeah.
Grace is good.
Yeah.
Grace. Yes, it is. Neither Noah, his family, nor the animal life had done anything special to merit this goodness and deliverance from God. None of them has done anything to merit
thank
God's
you,
preservation.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's just
thank
his
you.
Grace.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you.
But now, here's something that all of us need to recognize. There is an end
amen.
To
amen.
Time of grace.
All right.
Okay. You remember in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3? God said, my spirit will not dwell with man always. God says to all of us, don't presume upon grace.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that it's just going to be this way all the way. Now Paul says, shall we sin?
Mm-hmm.
That what? Grace may
mm-hmm.
God forbid that you think in that way.
That's right.
You need to live holy and live right because of grace. Not live sloppy and lazy because of grace.
Amen.
That's right.
You need to get in a hurry because of grace. Not lay back and think you've got all the time because of grace.
Right.
Grace motivates me
mm-hmm.
to do right. Motivates me
yeah.
to live. Motivates me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, now you notice, look at verse 16. You got verse 16? This is one of the most chilling sentences in the Bible. You see the last sentence in verse 16? And the Lord shut him in. That's it. Grace is over. Is that serious? You know, there's a whole lot of symbolism here. You remember what God told Noah early on?
Mm-hmm.
In 7 days, you need to be on board and in place.
Mm-hmm. Seven in the Bible means complete.
Amen.
Seven is all you got.
Mm-hmm.
Get it together.
Mm-hmm.
Get you and your household together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Seven is complete.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the time you got, Noah.
Mm-hmm.
But then you notice when God, remember last week I told you, God told Noah to build an ark. It only had one building. This huge monstrosity. Just magnitudes of door. But God said, no. On this boat, guess what? One door.
Uh-huh.
Now you getting it? And Jesus said, John 10 what? I am the door to the city. Now by the way, this is so good. I'm gonna have to cut this up. But you know, when the door is closed, nothing gets in.
All right.
You getting it?
Amen.
Not even water.
Amen.
Think of that. That door is sealed so tight. Because what would happen if water could get in? The boat's gonna sink. So when God closes the door, it's closed tight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nothing gets in.
Amen.
And thank God, but
yeah.
Nothing on the inside gets out.
Amen.
You getting it? That's how good God is. And Jesus says, I'm the door for the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Remember how he said another place? No one, what? Gets to the Father except what? You getting this? This ark. This ark. And the only way you get in the ark is what? By grace.
Yeah.
You getting it?
I think I finally got a color. Y'all can y'all do it?
Amen.
Yeah.
Thanks to my wife, I got a color. Y'all can see.
So, here's the thing. We too live in a time and a culture where people are corrupt. This is nothing new to you, right? There's violence in the earth. There's no regard for the will of God. There's no regard for the way of God. There's no regard for the word of God. There's no love for God. You remember how 1 Timothy 3 says it? People are love of the self, love of the money, love of the pleasure, abusive, arrogant, proud, this honoring of the parents. And we see all that, what? Today. That's happening right now.
Right?
And if I remember right, I know it happened yesterday. Well, let me say this right now. I mean, we live in a culture that's trying to redefine marriage, trying to redefine the definition of life and pregnancy. We live in a culture that doesn't care anything about the poor. They don't care anything about widows. They don't care anything about folks that are hurting. We live in a culture that don't care anything about the elderly. It's just there's no regard. There's no care. There's no love. And on this very day, if I got my facts right, you know what they're celebrating downtown?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
On what? On what day? On what day?
Thank you, Lord.
Telling you all.
Mm-hmm.
It's corrupt.
You're correct.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely correct.
Now you remember what happened when God got tired of that?
Yeah,
wow.
Sure, yeah.
You need to open your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure it's looking at the right thing. Stop looking at your 401k and your these plans, the medical plans. That ain't what's going to save you.
Mm-hmm.
All that's got to be left behind.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You're getting it. And so will you believe with me that God is still in control? We're sitting out here, and just a few miles away, they're celebrating that which is totally against
Correct.
The law and the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
But God is still in control.
Yeah.
We got 30 people here. You got
thousands there. The majority doesn't determine what the will of God there is. Thank God for that. On the ark, there was just Noah, his wife, and six others.
Yeah.
We got eight people. The majority was not in the ark. You getting it? No, I guess I got to say this too. You do know Noah had to stay outside in the midst of it until it was time to go. So don't start hiding. You understand? See, God didn't say Noah's going to hide. He's saying, I'll get to this in a minute. Noah had to stay outside among. He had to preach. And he didn't know what the outcome was going to
be. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Don't start getting judgmental then, thinking you've got it all figured out.
Well,
don't. Mm-hmm. Right?
Amen.
Be faithful. So God's still in control. He has a plan of deliverance. And, hallelujah. Jesus is the ark.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
He's the place. He's the place of safety. And you know that we live by grace. We'll be delivered by grace, but there still is urgency to be faithful today. You agree with me?
Amen.
All right, well, let's look at this last point and we'll be done. The last thought then is what I call entry of the flood. And again, we look at God's sovereignty first. It was God who determined the start time of the rain, right? Verse 4. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth. And then, if you'll notice, it was also God who determined the duration of the rain. Now, you see that again, verse 4. In 7 days I'll send rain on the earth, and for 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made, I'll blot out. So it's God not only who determines when the judgment starts. God determines how long it's going to last, right? And so he's in control. He repeats that again over in verse 17. The flood continued for 40 days on the earth. And so it's God who made that determination. And then finally, as we look at God's sovereignty, you see that God determines the extent, that's what I call it, of the flood. Look at verse 18. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heavens were covered. God decided that nothing was going to be exempt.
Mm-hmm.
Except what? That which was in the ark.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's business.
Amen.
Once you're in the ark, you just need to back off and let God determine when he's going to deal with folks.
Amen.
And how. Trust me, he knows how to do it so much better than you do.
Amen.
Jesus said what? Vengeance is mine. He said, I'll repay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you take vengeance for yourself. Right?
Amen.
We can trust him. And so that's God's sovereignty, and then lastly, let's look at God's judgment. After we looked at God's sovereignty, you remember we saw God's grace. But when it comes to people that won't love and won't obey God and who've hardened their hearts, you don't see grace now. What you see is God's judgment. God's judgment on the wicked is sudden, and it's inescapable. Look at verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the whole windows of heaven were opened. Have you seen sometimes these news clips will show how a tsunami will come on shore in some of these areas, even when you've had alerts. It's so staggering that you can't, there's nowhere to hide.
Amen. That's right.
right? When you got 15, 20 feet plus a wall of water coming in, where are you going? Right? And so God brings water from everywhere, down below and above. You remember how it was at the creation? God separated it when he created it, but now he brings it all together.
Amen. That's right.
Nowhere to hide, nowhere to run.
That's right.
And it came up suddenly. No time to build a boat, a raft. Too late now. There's no escape. You get it? See, verse 20, the waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. Why do you think the Bible says that?
You know, that's what, that's over 20 feet. Nobody's 20 feet tall. Nobody. Nobody. God determined no one escapes. Giraffe, nobody. Now that's above the highest mountain. Even if you could get there, which is highly improbable. Even if you get there, you don't get away. Got it? Sudden and inescapable. God's judgment on the wicked is without mercy. And ends in death. See verse 21. All and all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Look at verse 22. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. That's it. God's judgment on the wicked is without mercy and ends in death. You know what? Death is always the consequence and wages for sin.
Yes.
We know that, right? From the New Testament.
Amen.
And so, again, we get a very graphic picture here that don't play with sin. It always ends in death. And you notice that God's judgment is thorough. And this is what I call it, with a holy outcome, or a cleansing outcome, if you will. And I gather that from verse 23. Look at verse 23. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. The judgment is thorough, but you notice there's a purpose. He's cleaning. It's cleansing that he's doing. That's the reason I titled our sermon, The Cleansing Flood. God didn't just send water just to have water. When God does something, it has purpose. He's cleaning. He's cleaning the earth for with a purpose. And it's working together for good to those that what? Love God! Where are they? They're not out there in the water. Those in the water can't say, this is working together for my good. No, it's not.
That's right.
There's no need in you quoting that verse.
That's right. All right.
You're not on the ark. This is not working for your good. Those on the ark, the trouble is actually what's keeping them what? The destruction is actually what's keeping them. You getting this? So it doesn't matter how many people stand up on awards program and talk about how they love God and how they love that community. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you love me with your lips. And I'm not, being crass about people. I'm just saying to you, that doesn't get you on the ark.
That's right.
Amen.
You need to, what does Peter say? Make your calling and election what?
Sure.
You need to be sure.
Amen.
This is no time to be playing around.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that. Do you realize how many people? Jesus gives you a picture of what's going to happen at the end of all the church members. Right?
Yeah.
We did this for you and we did that for you. Jesus never denied that. You served hard in the church, but you had one problem. I never knew you. And you never knew me. You were never in the ark. Now, I don't know this, but I can think of it. Noah probably had some help. Think about how monstrous this thing was. He probably had some folks helping him other than his three sons. Noah, let me in. I don't control this.
Right. Surely.
I didn't open the door, and what?
I didn't close the door.
Amen. Now that it's closed, guess what? I can't open it. I know you helped me, and I appreciate it, but that don't get you in the ark. Your works don't get you in the ark.
Right.
You getting this?
Amen.
I know you gave me lots of money, and I appreciate that, but that don't get you.
That's right.
You know. You understand? You gave me some timber off your land. I appreciate that, but that don't get you. Right? You getting it? Men die. Women die. Children die. Married people die. Single people die. Widows die. Handicapped die. Elderly die. Infants die. Pregnant women die. It's too late to say, Lord, have mercy. When the flood starts, everybody not on the ark dies. That's serious. Regardless of your age, what, by the way, wealthy people die along with poor people.
That's right.
Tall people, short people die. Healthy folks die, sick people die. Right? The only way to be delivered is to make sure your own heart. Regardless of your financial condition, your health, your age, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you get saved. Get on the ark. Even in judgment. I guess I need to make this comment. I know I've been long, but there's so much here. I know I can't cover it all today, but this is one comment I'll make, and then I'll try to wrap it up. And I know people often have, it's sad to say, people have more trouble with the animals that die than they do people. Why do I kill off all the animals? Well, think of it. Animals were given to serve man.
That's right.
That's all. And so, when God destroys the master, he destroys the servant. Now, he's preserved some more that were going to serve men and that are being delivered. But these right here, they're serving his purpose. By the way, you got an issue with God? Remember, he's the potter.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
There wouldn't be any animal if he hadn't what? Made. The will the clay say to the potter, why are you doing that?
Right.
God forbid. You understand. So, take your issues to him. Trust me, what he did was right.
Amen.
Just. Right? And so, even in judgment, the righteous will be delivered. And that's, I don't want you to forget that, okay, as we wrap up here. You see that in verse 23? After all of this devastation, the very last sentence, Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. Hallelujah! That's the good news. Don't miss that. In the midst of this destruction, even when there's judgment, the righteous will be delivered. We will be saved. Thank God for that. That's a part of his plan. He's working it out. He's working it out. Don't get distracted as he works out the difficult part of it. God's the same today as he was in the days of Noah. He's just and he's faithful to bring justice again. You do believe it's coming again, don't you?
Amen. Amen.
There's no fixing this earth.
That's right.
I do not hold to the theology that things are just going to get better and better and better and better than Jesus comes. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I believe the Bible teaches that there's a downward spiral, and we see it happen all around us. Even if we didn't see it happen, if that's what the Bible says, that's what we have to believe.
Right?
And so he's coming again. He's going to set it right. He did it once with water. The next time, it won't be water. But it'll be fire. Fire next time. Okay? But the purpose will still be cleansing. But just as judgment is certain for the wicked, my brother, my sister, deliverance is certain for the righteous. Those that are saved in Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, since we know that the times in which we live are similar to Noah's, are you living righteous before God today? Are you obeying the will of God? Are you obeying the way of God? Are you obeying the word of God? Even though we are saved by grace, even though we live by grace, even though we'll be delivered by grace, do you see the urgency to be faithful today? And not get lazy and careless just because God doesn't appear to be doing anything about the wicked. Trust him. He's got a plan. Jesus says that we are light. And he needs us to shine in this dark, dismal, twisted world. He needs us to shine just like Noah did in the midst of that corrupt and crooked environment. He needs us to shine even if you don't see results. Shine anyway.
Amen.
Right? That wasn't Noah's job. He had to plant and water and he had to leave the results to who? God.
Yeah.
The same thing he tells us.
Yeah. Amen.
Your only job is plant water. Plant water. God gives me increase. He needs folks to be faithful planters and waters. Don't stop it just because they're celebrating this wicked thing and that wicked. Keep on planting. Keep on watering.
Amen.
Let God give increase.
Amen.
Needs us to be faithful.
Yeah.
There's people falling off from church. So keep on planting. Keep watering.
That's right.
Building is that not your church? God never charged you to build a church. Did he?
Amen.
Jesus said what? I will do what? Build my church. Trust me, he knows how to do it.
Amen.
God knew how to get the right folks on the ark. If it was left up to you and I, we'd have our partners on there.
Yeah.
You carrying folks into the new world, it's going to be for real problems.
Mm-hmm.
God is cleaning up the problem, you're trying to carry it on with you.
Because
it's your partner. You understand? Let God build the church. Don't try to make Trinity, you know what I'm saying. Listen, we're not trying to make this into our church. I want it to look this way. No. We're seeing how that turns out. Wait on God. Let him bring them on in his time and in his way.
Amen.
It'll be what? It'll be right.
Amen.
It'll be right. And trust me, once he brings them on, the boat keeps on floating. So it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We must continue to live and be ambassadors for Christ because we know that the final storm is on the way.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the final storm of destruction is coming. Don't grow weary in your teaching people.
Don't grow weary in your exhorting people. Don't grow weary in your encouraging people. Don't grow weary in your counsel. Don't grow weary as you try to reprove and correct. Now, don't grow weary. Just be faithful.
Amen.
Because you know he's coming. Mm-hmm. It may take longer than you may not even see it. That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you're saying. I'll serve him what?
Till I die.
Till I die. Do that. Leave the schedule to him. Mm-hmm. Right?
Amen.
He's faithful. You know that you will survive the coming storm of judgment. But you also know that you want as many people possible on the earth. I hope you know that. We want those whom God plans to have in the place of safety on. We are his body. Right?
Amen.
Amen.
We're his body. So let's serve like his body. Stay faithful.
Mm-hmm.
You'll save your own soul and many with you, just like Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a Christian, you can be sure that you will survive that great day of judgment and destruction that is coming. But you, too, you got to believe. You got to believe. You can't just listen to sermons and say, Lord, I understand. And Lord, I will later, tomorrow. Tomorrow. If you hear him, the day you hear my voice, what?
Don't harden your heart.
Come on board then.
Amen.
Come on board. If you can hear him calling you today, come on board now. Father, thank you for every act of grace and mercy toward us. Lord, where I fail to communicate clearly, I ask you to make this truth clear and succinct to your people. Things that may have been confusing, that may have been thrown and cast to the ground, Lord, so that which is crystal clear might find real root in our hearts. Help us today to find the same resolve as Noah, to be faithful, to live out this righteous life before you and before people around us without making excuses, without blaming others. We want to be faithful ambassadors for Christ. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.